Hi, my name's Rob Johnson. I'm the founder and managing director of Research Consulting. We're a specialist consultancy that works across the research landscape, and we support research organisations, research funders, government bodies, and publishers. And I'm here to talk to you as part of the ALPSP's Careers Hub series, and I'll be providing an overview of how research funders are changing the world of scholarly publishing. So, I want you to think of scholarly publishing like a city, and the economy of that city is worth about $25 billion a year. So that's the size of the global scholarly publishing market. That includes journals, which are about 10 billion, also books and databases and various other products associated with the STM market. And that city has kind of been getting on pretty well for hundreds of years now. And funders are like the dragons that 20 years ago were way off in the distance. You knew they were out there, but they never really had much to do with what was going on in the city. And over the last couple of decades, those dragons have started to get closer and closer to the city. And what they're asking for is that the city walls come down. So the paywalls that are protecting published content are taken down, and all of that content is freely available to the world as a whole. But of course, you've got $25 billion of economy at stake there, and if you take those walls down, then there's a big threat to all of that economic activity. And so, in a nutshell, that's what's been happening over the last decade or two, as research funders have started to ask publishers and researchers to make their content more openly available. So let's just put this in a bit more context. So I talked about scholarly publishing as a city with an economy of $25 billion. It sounds pretty big, but when we put that in the context of research and development as a whole, it's only about 1% of all the money that goes into global R&D. And of that $2.5 trillion that goes into global R&D, about 30% or near enough a trillion of that tends to flow through governments and public funding agencies, which are the ones that typically support the majority of academic articles and books and other published outputs, along with some philanthropic funders as well. So, that city, it's pretty small, the economy, in the whole economy of research. But as you see in that graphic, if you're in publishing, you have a great view of the whole research landscape. You can see what's going on, and everyone wants to get into that city. Everyone wants to get their research published in a top journal because that's how you progress your career. So publishing is really important for research and it's really influential. But in monetary terms, it's fairly small in the scheme of the whole research landscape. And so the research funders control a big chunk of that money, and that gives them a lot of say over what happens in the world of research. So just to dig into this a bit further, where's all that money going? Well, it's no surprise that the US and China and Europe is where most of the funding for research is going in. So we can see that over the years, the US has been the biggest supporter, and probably today just about is still the biggest supporter of research, but China is over on the track to overtake it very soon, has already overtaken the US in the number of scientific articles produced each year. So, broadly speaking, spend on R&D is going up, and the number of articles being produced is also going up. So there's a big correlation between where research is funded and where publications come from. So if you want to know where the publications of the future are going to come from, look at which countries or which regions are increasing their spend on R&D. Now, back to the analogy of the dragons. Who are these funders who are placing requirements on publishers? Well, As the previous slide suggested, the biggest ones are in China and in the United States. So the National Natural Science Foundation of China, that's the funder of the most publications. And when we look at Crossref records, more publications have been supported by that funder than any other in the world. But the next three are all from the United States, so the US Department of Health and Human Services, the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation. And as we go down the list, we see the European Commission, we see another Chinese funder, and then some of the European funders along with the government of Canada. So it's the US, it's China, and it's Europe where these big funders are, and many of them are starting to place expectations around publishing, which influence publishers. So what are these expectations that funders are placing on researchers and indirectly on publishers? Well, as this chart shows, this is using data from a database called Sherpa Juliet, which shows the policies of 178 funders globally. About two-thirds of funders these days require something called open access archiving, or OA archiving, which is saying that a publication supported by that funder should be made available online in a repository. So a repository is not on the publisher's platform, but another stable and secure online record, often maintained by an institution or a not-for-profit entity. So very commonly, articles and to some degree books have to be made available in a repository, although traditionally that could be after an embargo period of perhaps 6 or 12 months, meaning you still need a subscription to access the published copy immediately. Now, another big chunk of funders require open access publishing, meaning the actual copy of an article or an ebook must be made openly available on the publisher's platform. So about a third of funders globally now require that. Another third or so encourage that. And in many cases, funders have said they will pay for that because they recognize that by making the content open access, you can no longer charge a subscription for it. So there needs to be another revenue stream. And lastly, funders are increasingly setting expectations around data. So the data supporting a publication, saying that should be archived, available online if appropriate, subject to confidentiality, commercial sensitivity. And again, this has a bearing on publishers because often articles need to include data availability statements. They need to include links to where the data can be found. So there's a growing set of expectations being established by funders that have a bearing on publishers. Now, there's two particular groups of funders that are especially influential in the world of publishing. So on the left-hand side, you can see a group called Coalition S. So back in 2018, this group came out with something called Plan S, which was a set of 10 principles that were about making the results from publicly funded research immediately available in open access form. And it's mainly European funders in that group, but also a number of international funders and agencies such as the World Health Organization, such as the Bill and Melinda Gates and the Howard Hughes Medical Institute in the US. And Coalition S, it's not a huge share of global publications accounted for by their funds, but it's been very influential in setting a direction of travel over the last few years and continues to be so. On the right hand side, you've got the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. So they essentially have issued a memorandum or a directive to all of the federal agencies in the US that fund research, saying they want immediate access to the outcomes of federally funded research. Now, in the US, we often hear the term public access as distinct from open access, and that is really what the OSTP are pushing for. And that means articles have to be freely available to read, not necessarily openly licensed, meaning they can't necessarily be reused. So it's a slightly less prescriptive requirement than that of Coalition S, but both of them are pushing in the same direction, that increasingly those paywalls have to come down, that city of publishing, the walls have got to come down, and the outcomes of research, the publications from research, need to be freely available. So the key question for publishers is how to respond to these fund the requirements. What do you do when that dragon attacks and tells you to take down your walls? Do you just abandon those paywalls, or where does that leave your business model? Do you strengthen them? Do you try and stick with the subscription model and perhaps accept that some of those articles with those funder requirements attached are going to go elsewhere? Do you try to give something away? So do you say, well, we can make those articles freely available in some circumstances, or only if they're funded by particular funders? Do you even facilitate the open access archiving process by depositing those articles on the author's or the funder's behalf? Or can you actually work with those funders? So remember, dragons have gold. So many of the funders that are asking for open access are willing to pay for it in the right circumstances. And many publishers have developed new business models in the field of gold open access, so paid for immediate open access on the publisher's platform. So this is really what many publishers are now working through, is how to respond to those those funder requirements. So how do I think the landscape looks today? I think it looks more like this. So funders are now part of the landscape of publishing, just as they are part of the landscape of research. And it's really about working with them, not necessarily uncritically, and it's got to be part of a dialogue, but funders and publishers are increasingly intertwined. We even see some funders now setting up and funding publishing activities. So it's a very much an intertwined landscape that we see today. So I hope that's given you a flavour of the ways that publishers and funders are working together, and the ways that funders are changing the scholarly publishing landscape. Please do check out the ALPSP Careers Hub for more videos, and thank you very much for listening.